We're back.
And we're back.
We're back with a new show, Shoot Your Shot. Welcome, Lindsay. Welcome to us.
Oh, welcome, Tim. Cheers. It's so good to be back. Holy cow. Holy cow.
It's been a while since the last podcast we did together. This one is a video and audio podcast. If you're joining us on YouTube, hello, you can see us. If you're joining us in your car through audio, hello, you can't see
hello.
Us.
Hello.
You can hear us. We sound
this
great.
Is us in your ears.
We sound great. You should probably tune into the YouTube show.
The YouTube show, I gotta say, looks super dope. Immediately became less cool when I said dope, but we have put an unbelievable amount of effort into this seemingly effortless design.
Truly.
But we have this beautiful sign. Anyways, should we tell them what the new show is about?
Let's talk about the format. Lindsay, what's the show about?
So, welcome to Shoot Your Shot. I'm Lindsay Coulter. This is Timothy Musa.
Hello.
And we are two photographers in Ontario, Canada, up north, in the north. And we are here with a brand new show. And that show basically is a call-in style radio podcast where you call in, send us a voice note or a DM as a photographer with your problems. So if you're a photographer and you have questions that you need solved in your business and you're like, I'm just not getting them. Or you maybe don't want to post in a forum. You don't have any other photographer friends. You have a very unique problem. Well, we are here to solve them, my friend.
We'll
so
be your friends. We'll
we
help you with those problems.
We would love to chat with you. You know where the idea for this came from, Tim?
No, I don't.
Let me tell you.
Please.
So my mom and I used to spend a lot of time in the car growing up. Mm-hmm. And when we were driving, was the 90s, not to age myself, but in the 90s, we didn't have Spotify for all you youths. We had the radio. And every night coming home from my dance lessons or whatever, my mom and I would listen to John Tesh Radio or some other call-in show where people would call in and...
Lovers and Other Strangers.
What a weird thing for a child to be listening to. Like, I was a child. I was under the age of 10.
Yeah.
But
a lot of Lionel Richie, a lot of Bonnie Raitt. Soulful 70s and 80s
music. Part that's the most hurtful is that like it was 96.7 Chime FM was the station
yeah.
for our moms.
Yes.
And I remember being like, at what point will I be this old? And let me tell
have
you,
these problems.
We are this old, you guys. We are. You can call in with your relationship problems. That might be weird, but instead of calling in with your relationship problems, unless maybe you're a photography couple and you have questions about how to run a business as a couple, we could talk about that. That's cool.
We're not a couple.
We're not, by the way. This is Tim. He's my brother practically, but I am married to another photographer, and Tim
you've experienced that way.
And Tim has a long-term partner.
I also feel like I'm married to Taylor Jackson in some ways. So
feels like we all are.
It's kind of a throuple.
It actually is. It's really nice with Kelly.
Yeah,
quadruple. Longest-winded answer for how this all started, and Shoot Your Shot. Kind of just like we want you to call in and shoot your shot. It might feel a little bit nerve-wracking. It might feel like you're sliding into our DMs at times, and we love that.
We welcome
for you. We do. There are certain kind of messages we don't welcome. You can imagine what they are. They are this color, which is purple and shaped like an eggplant. We don't want those in our DMs.
No,
but
thank you.
Anything else? Any other chit-chatty question that you have about your photography business? Tim and I have been in business, if we were to add these things up, for over 25 years. We're not that old. We actually... You should watch us on the video. If you're not, we look so good for our ages.
Very young, not just the lighting.
So youthful.
So moisturized.
But we've been in this industry. I started my photography business 10 freaking years ago.
Unreal.
While I was still in university. When did you start?
2015. But I shot my first wedding in 2010. 10-10-10 was my first wedding. I didn't know what
I
was doing.
Wild. And also, you've been in like commercial video production.
Oh, yeah. I worked in TV for a while. Yeah.
So we have some experience.
We got some time under our belt.
My other thought is, and I'm like totally throwing this idea out there.
Before we get to the first call, what's your idea?
Tim maybe has not even heard this. If we are stumped, I feel like we should phone a friend.
Oh, it'd be great.
Don't you think that'd be fun? We have some friends in the industry. Yeah. They're pretty cool people that have different experience than we do. You know, if you call us with something and we are stumped, we will phone a friend.
Call someone we know who can solve the problem for you. That's
we'll
a great idea.
We'll all learn together.
I love it.
That's my thought. Okay. So.
First up, who do we have? We have an anonymous photographer. Again, you're welcome to remain anonymous.
Yeah.
Should you wish to? Should it something maybe a bit more personal, or you just don't want to have your name out there? If you want to throw us your hashtag, your at symbol, your at symbol, what am I, 40? Your Instagram handle.
Your account, yeah.
We'll happily include that in the thing to get some shameless promotion, because who doesn't love that?
For sure. So if you want to be like, what's up? I'm Lindsay Coulter at L Coulter Photo. I live in Waterloo and I'm a wedding and portrait photographer. And here's my question. By all means, give it a go. Keep in mind, your clients may or may not be listening to it. So if you would like to be anonymous, we respect that choice and we will do that. So if you want to do that, then just say, what's up? I'm a portrait photographer and here's my problem. And I'm going to call you something like Sleepless in Seattle then.
We'll come up with a fun name for you.
Yeah,
number one,
Sleepless.
Let's go.
Hey, Lindsay and Tim. I'm a wedding photographer and I'm just wondering, how do I stop people from ghosting me? You know, they'll reach out, they'll send me an email and I'll send them my pricing, but then I don't hear back. Do you have any tips on how to bring in those leads after they fill out your contact form? Thanks.
Great question. Excellent question.
Extremely topical.
We often get ghosts. I get ghosted
getting
sometimes.
Getting ghosted right now.
Yeah.
As we
currently
speak,
being
I'm
ghosted.
Being ghosted, you know?
So you're not alone. This is a common practice. I feel like some people, not all people, don't see you as a human being. They see you as a sweater on a shelf, maybe
totally.
Sometimes. And that's not everyone. That's just the way people shop these days.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Okay, first of all, I'm going to call this caller Ghostbusters.
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 Great.
Because that's what we're going to do today. Wowzers. I wish that I had a magic potion to end all ghosting. First of all, I feel like ghosting started in like the relationship world, right? So if you're like listening to this, you're like, what's ghosting? Well, I feel like you are blessed. Ghosting essentially is when you have what you think is a good conversation and you feel like you have a good rapport, and then that person disappears.
Just doesn't say anything.
Like a ghost.
Disappears.
And I think that it's important to differentiate. So Ghostbusters was saying that, you know, they reached out, then he responded, and then he got ghosted. So my first question would be, at what stage are we getting ghosted? Mm. Because if you feel like you're getting ghosted off initial inquiry, I don't know that we can call that ghosting so much as just disinterest.
Yeah.
I think that there are different levels of ghosting. If you have had a couple of emails back and forth,
sure.
If your workflow is then to have a phone call with a client,
if they're super excited to book with you,
they're like, we're so interested, just give us a couple of days, got to get some funds together, or I got to speak to my partner,
totally,
whatever, and then you never hear from them again, oof, straight to my heart.
Yeah.
It hurts me to think about it.
That's the saddest.
It's so...
You create a relationship with these people and you want them to be, you know, in your calendar.
You're also investing your time and you're like, so Tim and I are wedding photographers, would you say primarily? I don't even know. I think I'm like primarily a photographer. I specialize in both weddings and in
portraits, families,
and branding sessions. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of the ghosting is more so, I think, is a really bad thing right now in the wedding industry. I think it's happening across the board for all wedding vendors. Mm. I don't know. I'm not going to be the person to like blame it on Gen Z, because we were once the ones that Gen whatever blamed it on millennials. You remember that?
Sure.
They were like, it's the millennials.
Yeah.
They're doing it. But I do think there's something, I'm not blaming it on Gen Z, but there is something in the Gen Z water where maybe it's also the product of the last couple of years that we have had, where people haven't had to see people face to face so much.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like email communication and phone communication and maybe a Zoom call, but we're not really meeting with clients
in
person.
You're saying the process is a lot less personal.
Yes. So it's depersonalized. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just don't know how to communicate that they like. I'm thinking of when I was dating, right? It's been a minute, but when I was dating and I got ghosted, it happened, you know, every once in a while. People just they don't have the capacity to tell you how they're feeling,
mm-hmm.
right? In the business world, we try to not take things personally.
No,
I assume they don't have the money, they found somebody that they liked better after me. Whatever it is, but when you're dating, so much more personal. You're like, oh, you don't like me?
Me as a person.
So
yeah.
I think the first thing is we got to remove our own ego
sure.
from this situation as business owners, right? Like, it's not personal, but it's it's good to find out why, right? Yeah, you want to know where that client went.
Why they no longer in your
You
inbox.
Don't want me?
You don't want me? What's wrong with me?
I want you.
What are some strategies you've used recently or in the past to prevent ghosting?
So this past year...
It's like even just to find out why, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, dig in.
This past year, I started putting my pricing on my website. Mm-hmm. First time in 10 years that I have had my wedding photography pricing public. I have a new website with Focal. Phenomenal. Love them. And because I'm with Focal, where if you're a photographer and you're unfamiliar with Focal, basically you are listed on like a marketplace. So in order to be listed in the marketplace, your pricing has to be public
because right.
you're comparing apples to apples, essentially. Having my pricing public has led to a lot less inquiries, but far better conversations once I am having them, because no longer can people say, oh, the pricing is more than we thought. Because I'm like, well, it was there.
You saw it. To get to the contact page, you must go
to
the pricing.
In order to get to me here, you saw that there.
Which might be the reason why this person is being ghosted, is because the initial email sent out could be a, great, your date's available on my calendar. Here's my packages. Let me know what you think. And a lot of couples in the past, that's been a big barrier. And that's been the point where they say, oh, no, not for me. I thought it was this much. I thought there was this much value attached. No bueno.
So that could be, that's a very good point. That could be the starting point is, does your website represent the pricing that you're offering? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't just mean that your work actually doesn't look like it's as expensive. Sometimes it's the other way around.
Yeah.
Like your work looks more expensive and then your price is so low that people are like, woof.
There's a mismatch here.
What's going on here? Yeah. Something must be wrong.
Something's broken. Why are they charging so little even though their quality of work looks so high?
And I've had people tell me that before when my pricing wasn't public. They were like, we're confused. I'm like, bless your heart. Immediately you're paying more, you know? But having your pricing public immediately starts the conversation off in a way that people aren't feeling embarrassed to reach out and then embarrassed to say, oh my gosh, here I was thinking it was going to be $2,000 and it's six. Like, it's just an embarrassing
thing.
Sticker
shock can be embarrassing for
some
people.
Yeah, it could be embarrassing. Yeah. So, you know, it could be that they found another photographer when they were just, all they were doing was price shopping at the beginning and then they just narrowed it down from there. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so let's say you get ghosted at the, we had a call, we're in love with each other, we're making a wedding photography or a portrait photography baby. And now all of a sudden I'm a single parent and I have the baby and they're gone.
And the alimony's not coming in.
No one is paying.
No.
You know, that hurts.
It hurts a bit.
So what do we do? How do we, well, first of all, I think there's a prevention and then there's a solution in the end.
My suggestion would be,
I would love to hear your thoughts.
Follow through. So I would respond to the non-response by saying, hey, hope you're well. I know how busy this time of year is, even though it's any time of year. It's always busy. Mm-hmm. That's a good excuse to start there. It's a busy time of year. It could be any day of the year.
Literally any day of the year.
Just following up, wanted to know if you're still interested. Because a lot of times people, you know, they will ghost, but it's unintentional. Sometimes they just fall off, you know?
When would you send a follow-up?
I would say,
how's annoying? When do we go from like, oh, that's annoying, to that's just too late, like they're already gone?
No more than 2 weeks, I would wait.
I would not even wait.
Really?
I would wait 5 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Five B days.
Five business days.
Okay.
Well, also, Tim and I have the cheat code. So Tim and I have very recently discovered. So I always used to use a email tracking service called Boomerang. It was built into my email service.
Yeah.
I would have to turn it on every single email. Very recently, thank you to my husband, Taylor, we discovered. Our husband, Taylor, we discovered MailTrack, which maybe we should link it. Should we link it?
Sounds great.
A thing we can do?
We'll put it in the description and the YouTube thing.
We'll put a little link in here. Basically, what it does is it's turned on all of your emails. So you don't have to remember to turn it on for an inquiry. It's turned on for all of your emails. It's a really good indication of, it tells you how many times people have opened the email. Tells you when they open the email.
Yep.
It tells you if they open any links or PDFs that you include. So I include my pricing again, even though I know they've seen it, but I send along in my initial email, I say, hey, I think this sounds like the package that would be the best suited for you based on what you're looking for. Here's a link again to the packages. here's the pricing that I'm offering. It's still the same. Or if I'm offering a discount for some reason, then here's the discount involved, and looking forward to hearing back from you. If that person opens the email and then immediately never opens it again 5 days later, to be honest, I'm not going to respond. I will not follow up on that.
There's closure, right?
If I was a newer photographer, I might follow up on it still because A, you know that they got the email, and B, you're still trying to chase down a sale. So sweet. I'm not in a position where I'm going to be chasing down people that are uninterested in working with me. And also I know the price point that I'm in is not necessarily everybody's price point. If I see somebody open an email like 12 times, ooh, I know that they're in. I know that they can be convinced. Okay. And I know that there is some kind of objection happening in their mind, whether it's from themselves or from their partner. Mm. And all I have to do is get them on a call to have a chat with them because I know they are interested. What they might be doing is comparing me to everybody else they're inquiring with.
Yes.
And they keep coming back to me for some reason. And they're hesitant to book a call. Maybe it's a pricing objection. Maybe it's some kind of objection. But yep. I feel like I could convince them.
You could get they're on the hook. They're on the hook.
You just so I think a mail tracker is a really good option because sometimes you just don't know why they didn't get back. And maybe they never even got this.
That's my point. It's not just about being kind of a creepy sleuth, even though that's kind of fun. And
I do love to be a sleuth.
Love being a sleuth. Sometimes they will give you the incorrect email, whether it's off by a word or a letter, or it goes to their spam email. So if they're not opening the email at all, they're not getting that message.
Especially on initial inquiry, it might go to their spam, right? This is the first time you're emailing them back.
Yes.
Especially if they don't email your email address directly, they send it to your contact form.
Yes.
Chances are super high that it's not your email's not reaching them.
So a double backup to that, to having an email tracker, is also having them input their phone number.
Phone number, my guys. It's like people forgot phones existed.
Yeah, you can call them. Or you can text them. Most of the time it's a mobile number. We're not having landlines.
So here's my thought on this.
Okay.
And I never used to ask for a phone number either. I actually have learned a lot from Focal, the website company. Yeah. This sounds like a pitch. They haven't sponsored us yet. I think that they should. But they should. We need one or two listeners first. Anyways, you guys will be it. One of the amazing things that Focal has shared with myself and every other photographer on their platform is that email responses, so my first initial response that are followed up with a text message, receive a 65% better response rate. 65. Wait, is it 85? No, I think it's 65. Let's go with 65. It's the more conservative number. If it's 85, then sweet. Ooh. But 65% better response rate when you send up a follow-up text message. And all I do is I send them the email with like all of the information, and maybe it's overwhelming. Maybe that's why they're not responding back, whatever. I send them a quick text. And the text just says, "Hey, Ashley, it's Lindsay Coulter. I just want to let you know I sent you a quick email with some more information. Really looking forward to connecting about your wedding. Mm-hmm. Feel free to call me back at this number or send me an email back with the time you want to meet."
Great.
You immediately go for the meeting, right? You immediately go for the phone call or for the next step. If your next step is let me know when you want to get booked in for your shoot, you immediately go for the next step in the text message if it hasn't been abundantly clear in the email.
Yeah, that's a great strategy.
So we can all thank Focal for that tidbit. Another one that our friend Liam actually does is he sends a video follow-up, which like to me personally, I could never. I love Liam for it. I should give it a go. Maybe the strategy will be so basically what our friend Liam does is he gets an inquiry from a couple. He sends them the email back with all the same details we all do. And then he just pulls out his phone because he has their phone number and he sends them, I think he sends it by text message.
It's
pretty much.
Yeah, I think it's text message or email. I think
like,
it's whatever contact
like a
form
selfie,
you have.
A selfie video being like, "Hey guys, it's Liam. I was so excited when I saw your email. I love working at the Allura Mill, one of my favorite venues. Looking forward to connecting with you."
Yeah.
It's like they know you now, right? Yeah. If they don't already feel that way, now they do.
Whatever relationship they have with you, whether it's through social media.
It just got leveled up a little.
It leveled up a bit. They feel like they're in the inner circle of you and they want to talk to you.
Whereas the email still feels like a barrier. And I do think that there is, like, I think that goes across generations, truthfully.
Yeah.
But I think it's especially true in, like, a younger generation, which brides are now. Like, if we look, brides generally speaking, and this is such an incredible generalization, but the majority of brides are between, like, what do we say, 25 to 40.
Sure.
25 to 37 or something like that. So in that like younger demographic, they're probably way more likely to get back to you quickly at with a text.
I just thought of that. It's also a psychological thing because you're emailing someone, you're emailing a photographer as a bride, as a groom. You're putting yourself out there a little bit. You know what I mean? You're like, hey,
oh my gosh, it's like a little date.
I have this one date. I would really love for you to be there. Are you available? To send them a video back is like a, hey, I'm also putting myself vulnerably into the world.
Oh, true.
You're leveling it up a bit more where it's like, this is my face and what
how
I sound
vulnerable
like.
Can we all be?
Can we all just put our feet in together into the same
then you're
going to
get more
pool?
Honest conversations from your clients. Your clients are going to say, listen, your pricing is a little bit out of our reach. What can we do? You know, like maybe there's more of a conversation to be had there instead of like, this is the pricing, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
Right?
Should we try this week? Are we there yet?
I'm willing to give it a shot, maybe. Yeah, I'm willing to give it a shot.
Give it a shot. Okay.
We're going to report back. It feels like a little bit much, but I think breaking down the barrier, making your relationship feel more personable, mm-hmm. if they ghost you then, who needs them, my guy? Like, literally, who needs them?
Sure.
Do you know who Mark Groves is?
No.
He's a relationship expert.
Mm.
Has an amazing podcast. Mark Groves, something. Anyways.
Sounds like your number one fan.
I am Mark's number one fan. He has a relationship podcast, and I listened to one of his podcasts on ghosting.
Okay.
As a married person, what a weird podcast to listen to. I hope it doesn't happen to me. It'd be really problematic. But I listened to this podcast where somebody called in and actually said, I keep getting ghosted by guys. And what is the deal? And his response was, it's a lack of emotional maturity that they do not know how to give you their honest feedback. Mm. Unfortunately, I don't see this as being a right fit. And it really is not very different in our industry. It could be that they don't respect you enough, and that's not on us.
No.
You know, it's not on us to force people to respect us.
No.
If you're like a messy person and you're clearly giving like the vibe that you don't need to be respected, that's weird already. But if you are putting yourself out there, you've got a great brand representation online and, you know, you're really sharing who you are as a person. You make it easy for people to get to know you and like you, you know, some ways to do that. Showing up on your Instagram.
Yeah.
I think this is so important. I tell Tim every day, mm-hmm. where's your story today, Timmy? I think it's so, I mean, Tim's been in the industry for so long. People know who he is a little bit more, right? He has videos of himself online. He has really great representation on his website.
But it's still something you need to keep up with, for sure.
It's something you have to be consistent with, but it's also something that I notice a lot of newer photographers are pretty bad at, mm-hmm. right? Like, nobody knows you. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I think that's awesome that you get to invent who you are, right? But, like, if people don't know you, what would make them feel connected and care enough to not walk away from you?
Exactly.
Right? They don't know you. You're literally a website that you could be an AI chatbot for all they know.
Likely.
So personalize your emails is a really good one. Personalize yourself online. Follow up with your leads and then put them out into the world and say bye. It's all you can do.
It's all we got.
It's all you can do.
Should we recap? What were those notes again? Email tracker, very important.
An email tracker, so important.
Get the phone number.
Get their phone number. Send them a follow-up of some sort mm-hmm. via phone and email.
Consider putting your pricing publicly on your website.
Give it a go.
They're going to find out anyway, right?
Might as well
save
yourself the awkward, oh, it's too much for me. Personalize yourself online. Really make sure that people know who you are before they even reach out.
Hope that helped.
We hope that helped, Ghostbuster.
Ghostbusters.
I hope that helped, Ghostbuster, because damn, it is not a nice feeling. I'm dealing with it. Tim and I have been dealing with it so much more this year than we've ever seen before. So just know, A, you're not alone. B, maybe it's not us. Maybe it is us.
No, we're not out of touch. It's not us. It's them.
Is it us? Am I the problem?
It's always you. It's always you. There's always something you could be doing. Mm-hmm. But
you know what? I love a challenge. This year has been one of my most challenging years in business, and that's coming off the heels of 2020, 2021, and 2022.
True.
And the first couple of months of this year have tested me. Tested my patience.
Yep.
Tested my loyalty. Sorry, sounding like a rap song. No, it's really tested me because I have been at this for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I think that people are afraid of this current economic
status
system that we're in. People are very afraid of the economy falling apart, which, you know, may or may not. What do I know? I didn't think COVID was going to happen, but here we were.
Russia,
Chinese weather balloons.
UAPs.
We're turning this into a
this is not a paranormal true crime podcast. Yeah.
I think people are nervous. Yes. I think people are nervous to spend money on luxury items, yeah. which photography is, as much as I'd like to believe, an essential service.
Weddings are.
You know, like, it's a luxury to have family photos done. It's a luxury to have a great wedding photographer. It's just a luxury to hire us out as far out as we used to see. So people used to hire wedding photographers 2+ years out. And we didn't see that over the last couple of years. So now we have this weird lull of 2023 where the clients are just different. And I wouldn't say harder. I think it's just that we dealt with, I'm speaking totally for myself, I had the same kind of client for many years, and now I'm just having to work a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's more photographers out there. There's just more options. I'm also at the highest price point I've been at in 10 years. So you're not alone in feeling like it's kind of a challenging year. I was telling you I was on Reddit the other day, yeah. and there's literally a post about this exact thing from, I'm pretty sure it was a DJ, or maybe it was actually, no, it was a wedding photographer because it was on the
wedding photography
thing. But there were thousands of comments of people saying the exact same thing that our Ghostbuster friend said.
Okay.
Just, I'm sending things out, people seem like they're going to bite, and then they just don't. Yeah. And I think people are holding their dineros a little closer to their chest. Mm-hmm. right now. And they still want to feel like they're planning, right? Especially if we're talking weddings, they still want to feel like they're doing the wedding planning thing. I think they're just nervous. So I love a challenge though.
Hang in there.
Doesn't it just inspire you to be like, what can I do different?
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to throw some things at the wall.
See what sticks,
because it's fun to not have the same business every year. It's kind of boring when you're like, I just did this and it was successful, and then I did it for the next 30 years.
Then I went to bed.
You know? And that, I think, is the biggest difference between photographers who burn out and photographers with longevity, right? Those of us who are like, well, this year is different. What can I do differently with it then? Yeah. Do I give up and say, I'm throwing in the towel? Or do I say, let's find out what I can do? And I think the answer is always, let's find out what I can do personally.
Agreed. Speed agree.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to pick a second question.
Hit it.
Oh, my gosh.
It's your turn now.
Okay. I'm going to pick one.
As always, you can send us your DMs, your voice notes to our Instagram, the Shoot the Shot podcast on Instagram. And just slide into the old DMs there. We'll answer your questions to the best of our ability. If we can't find the answer between the two of us, we'll phone a friend. We'll find someone who's been doing it just as long as us. Get their input.
That we will.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. This is a good one.
Okay.
Okay. This question coming to us from Kate. At Captured by Kate. We love it. We love Kate. Hi, Lindsay and Tim. I spend so much time on administrative tasks like emails, client communication, etc. What are your tips to help streamline your admin tasks? Well, dang. Don't we all feel it? Kate, we know Kate. She's a local photographer, local gal, who went full-time with her business like within the last, I think, year or two.
Okay.
A couple of years.
Great.
Hopefully I'm not misquoting that. I'm pretty sure. She has been a photographer for quite some time, but okay. I think a full-time photographer for the last couple of years. I actually shot her wedding.
Oh, great.
Oh, biased.
That's fun. Where was that?
Tobermory on a boat.
Oh, the boat one. The that boat was a good
elopement.
One.
Yeah, it was a real good
they jumped
one.
Jumped in the water. That was good.
Yeah, honestly, you want to see some banger elopement photos.
Yeah.
Shoot a photographer's wedding because yes. they just know.
They
you know
the
she's
angles.
Like, you want to see this cute white bathing suit? Yes, I do.
Of course I do.
Of course I do. Yeah. I don't not want that. You want to jump in the freezing cold water in Ontario, by all means.
Let's get some photos.
So, hi, Kate. Thanks for sending in your question.
Thank you, Kate.
Wow. Can I just say that this is such a common problem for photographers? Don't you think?
Yes. Administration problems.
Such a bummer to be like, I'm a talented photographer. I'm out on my own. I'm going to create this amazing business. And then you realize 80% of your time you're spent, 80 if you're lucky, is spent in front of your computer. Woof, you know, big time woof.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what's an administrative task. Emails.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are we lumping editing into administrative? Because personally, I would.
Yeah.
Are we going to call it?
I would say everything that's not. I mean, Kate, you can correct us later if you want to.
Yeah.
But I would say it's everything that's not related to being out there taking photos of people or things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like maybe we'll call it like the working in your business versus on your business.
Yes.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
Right? Basically, instead of being able to dream big, create cool things, doing those stuff you wish you were doing, you're doing the stuff that has to happen.
Yeah.
So it's not fun, but there have been incredible tools that have come out in the last couple of years to help us with this.
I think it can be fun.
Administrative?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it can, for sure.
As long as you're not feel like you're behind the eight ball the entire time. There's moments
there
where you can just be.
Nothing worse than that.
Yeah, you can just feel like the weight of the world is against you.
Your inbox is just
yes,
imploding. Yeah. You look for your oldest email in your inbox. Not this couldn't be me, but you look at the oldest email in your inbox and it's like 2 weeks old and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
What kind of weird excuse do I have for why that could have happened? It's hard. And you know what? I was just talking about this with one of our good friends, Nova Marquina, this morning.
Creator of the sign.
Creator of the sign, Neon Lights Canada. And we were talking about one of the tools that I'm going to tell you about in a second and how it has completely changed my relationship with my workflow, my after shoot workflow.
Okay.
I used to, I would say, spend at least a 1-to-1 ratio shooting versus post-production, at least, right? So if I had a 1-hour shoot, I would edit for 1 hour minimum. If I had an 8-hour wedding, I would edit for 8 hours. And that, you know, also we have to include culling into it. The actual exporting time is not included in that. The time
uploading.
It takes to upload.
Yeah.
Then the time to craft an email to send the gallery off to your clients.
3-to-1.
Like it's 3-to-1 by the end of it,
yeah.
Right? So the actual in the time, it's 1-to-1. Then we're talking 3-to-1 by the time we get out of it. We're talking like 30 hours for a wedding. So what happens when you're so freaking busy? Like my fall, I don't know about you guys, but my fall is like the absolute busiest time that I have in my business.
Absolutely.
And that's when I get the most behind on admin tasks like emailing, meetings, sending out, you know, I like to send out guides to my clients. So sending out like how to dress for your shoot and getting
yes.
ready. And those are also the things that help minimize the number of emails that I have. But if I haven't sent them out, you know you're going to get more emails being like, hey, what do we wear to our engagement shoot? And I'm like, fair, I didn't send that, did I? So it's just this pile-on effect of, it sounded like I said pylon.
Huh.
Pile-on effect.
Yeah, I get it.
Where, okay, so say Saturday is sent shooting 10 hours.
Yep.
You know, we'll say minimum probably 2 hours of driving / sitting in a parking lot waiting to start, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking a 12-hour day. No chance you're really doing much that day. Administrative wise, maybe if you're a lunatic like some of us are, you wake up in sheer terror and anxiety at 6 a.m. and answer some emails because you're like, I'm freaking out, I'm so behind. Sunday, I spend the entire day either shooting family sessions, engagement sessions. I usually spend almost all day Sundays working. Monday or Tuesday, I try to take a day to like just exist as a person.
Inevitably, though, you end up answering a few emails.
You end up answering a few. You're just like piecemealing away
yeah.
at some of your admin tasks. And then I'm usually shooting stuff in the studio, shooting stuff out on location, which takes time away from me in the office. At the end of that, doesn't really leave you with a whole lot of time to actually do the stuff that has to happen in order to deliver a great client experience.
Yeah.
Right? So that was a really long-winded way to say it's hard.
We get it, Kate. We understand.
Super get it, but there are solutions.
Many solutions.
So many solutions. So let's start with email. I think email is the biggest one.
Great. Template your emails.
Template your freaking emails. From the first, so every single email you send to your clients, probably.
Pretty much the same.
You're going to send that same email, like at least a variation of it, thousands of times in your career. So look at the emails that you're sending the most frequently and come up with a really good template. Change out their names, change out their locations,
dates,
and personalize it in some way. Like I leave a line in every email template for some level of personalization.
Yes.
I'm so excited for this venue. I absolutely love that area in the fall. I love the idea of doing a shoot with your dog, whatever it may be.
I like to say, what made you choose this venue?
You ask a question.
Yeah, get a dialogue going.
I usually ask a question at the end of my template, which is like, you know, something along those lines of like, you know, something personalized to the type of session that they're having.
Yeah.
An email template for everything, for almost too many things. And Tim and I aren't CRM people, are we?
I'm a CRM person.
You're a CRM.
Oh, baby. Oh,
I'm sitting in the room with a CRM person?
Questionnaires.
I had no idea.
No, I did. You do use the CRM, technically.
I'm talking an extreme CRM.
Oh, no, no. I'm not like Dubsado extreme.
Honeybook. Woof.
No. Things are
we
linked.
Just immediately took any sponsorship opportunity that we might have had.
Gone.
And we were like, never.
Listen, we can be swayed.
Listen, we could be bought. No, yeah. I lied. CRMs, I do use a CRM. You do. I use a mini CRM.
Okay. So CRM stands for customer.
Do you know?
No, I don't actually. Management. There's an R word in the middle.
Relationship management.
Relationship management. I knew that. And I use one that is embedded within PixieSet. All of my stuff's through PixieSet. My website's through PixieSet. They're not a sponsor. All my galleries and my CRM. So all my invoicing, my contracts, my questionnaires I send to my couples about a month from their wedding date, as well as the galleries I deliver things on, including video, are all through PixieSet. I found that the linking of one solid thing.
You leaned in. You better hope that their servers are solid. No,
why not?
I mean,
they're great.
I use PixieSet for my galleries. I love and respect PixieSet.
And there's other CRMs out there that are like slowly building, piecemealing their way into building these honeybook level of CRMs like Focal. They're fantastic.
Focal's fantastic, but one of the things that, so I guess I should give like some full transparency on why I love Focal so much. So Taylor is a partner with Focal. So there's that.
Yeah.
That's how I got started with Focal was because of Taylor, but also, and I have told this story a number of times, just because Taylor's a partner doesn't mean that I immediately bought in. I actually very much did not buy in because I had 3 different websites.
Yeah.
On multiple different platforms. I had WordPress, Squarespace. It was just a nightmare.
Yeah.
Still continues to be on the 2 that I still have on Squarespace. I never had a great way for inquiries to come in, and this all completely fell apart.
Yeah.
Last year. And it's always when you have no time for things to fall apart, right?
Middle of wedding season.
When was the last time your website failed? It's just when you have like not a moment to think about it.
Yeah.
So I found out that my email address was not receiving inquiries that were going into my inquiry form, which was a plugin on WordPress. And then one of my plugins on WordPress didn't update. And it completely deleted my entire website.
I remember that week.
That was such a nice time in our lives.
Yeah.
Thank God.
For Focal.
And for Focal, because first of all, there's no support at WordPress.
Nope.
If something goes wrong, you're hard pressed to get support at most of the other large.
The larger ones will not.
Right. They're not getting back to you. They have too much going on and they're probably used to people asking some pretty dumb questions. So if you have an extraordinary circumstance like I had, they don't even know where to start. So they'll send you to an FAQ and you just get to remake your website on a moment's notice.
And I've heard that Focal is fantastic at getting back people, their clients extremely quickly.
Literally moments.
Yeah.
So I sent an email through my own channels. I didn't go through Taylor at first. I was like, hey guys, my website imploded.
Help.
I've been looking for a moment to change because I wasn't in love with my wedding website, which is my main website.
Sure.
I was looking for a way to change it, and I went to Focal. So Focal is an all-in-one booking platform.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this website booking platform. So it has a gallery and a portfolio system, booking and galleries now, which is so sick.
What else are they doing? Other things too, like questionnaires? Are they working on that? Like, what's in the background? What's coming
forms
up?
Forms. Yeah, I'm sure that seems like a thing that might already exist. If it doesn't exist, it's probably in the pipeline, like
yeah,
a form type thing where people can fill out questionnaires. But the biggest thing for me was that the reason why I never went to a CRM was because it just felt so overwhelming. And the number of stories I've heard of people automating their emails and their emails sending out to people randomly. So that's when I think that you've maybe girl bossed a little too close to the sun, is when you have automated everything in your life and
yeah,
then it does not go well. And you're sending out like, so excited for your wedding, and the person's wedding's in 2 years, immediately panic.
There's a level of automation you want to steer away from.
Yeah.
Which is
And I think also I like to provide a really custom service to all of my clients, and
yes,
I like to get to know them. So it does mean like I want to see their emails coming in when they're asking certain questions, and I want to have like a little bit of a conversation with them to make sure I remember these clients, and I remember their initial inquiry. If they said like, we're getting married after sunset and we have some questions about how that's going to look, I don't want to send them an email template about
yeah,
that very specific thing that just doesn't feel very personal. So I think there is a balance. Finding a CRM that works for you, and maybe your CRM is Google, right? Because that's what mostly my stuff is I use
Excel sheets.
Yeah, I use Google
Sheets.
I have a workflow tracker that I made. And honestly, it would probably make the HoneyBook people just die inside to know that that's how I track my workflow. But it is. And it's that's what works for me. But I also have all of my bookings in one spot on Focal, which I think is really great to be able to see my inquiries come in one spot. And then they're also duplicated in another spot. There is so much here with this question. I'm like almost
overwhelmed. Can we read it again? I want to hear it again. Make sure we're still on course for Kate.
No, I think we are. We're still talking about administrative tasks like emails, client communications.
Okay. Okay, good.
So we're just trying to figure out like what are the, we haven't completely lost the plot. I think the main thing is finding a system that works for you,
yes,
and going ham on it.
Yeah.
You know, just getting it to a position that feels so streamlined for you, but also feels like you as a person and feels like I can still personalize this. The thing that our clients want from us is to get back to them.
Yeah.
And I know that because
I've experienced it.
Have been a client
yeah,
that hasn't heard back from people, and that's really annoying. So I would personally suggest making your communications shorter and maybe a little bit less personal than you want them to be, but done. You know,
yeah,
done is almost always better than perfect.
True.
So just get it done and get it out there. Some other like tangible things. I answer emails fully. Listen, don't hold me to this, but fully.
I'll stop recording. Don't worry.
To inbox 0 3 times a week.
Okay.
So the people that are in my inbox right now are like, ma'am,
tapping their feet.
In an ideal world, I get to inbox 0 3 times a week.
Okay.
So that I know that people are not ever listening. I mean, like, obviously, there are going to be extenuating circumstances. People ask you a question.
On a Friday afternoon.
Friday afternoon of a long weekend, whatever
yep,
that might be.
Yeah.
Or it just takes a lot of like mental energy that maybe I don't have to expend, or we're talking like you already heard me talk about the fall woof, you know. In an ideal world, I do it 3 times a week, but I also figure out the time of day that I like to answer emails, and I answer them once per day. Do you answer emails? Do you have a specific time? What's your email workflow?
I like to do morning emails.
Okay. Yeah. Same.
And then I'll swing back through in the afternoon in case someone's replied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Samesies. So yeah, I would say I like to get through a chunk in the morning.
Yeah.
As much as I can, if it's not one of my inbox 0 days.
Yeah.
and then do a quick pass through just in case it was somebody that I was like, do you want to have a call later?
Something urgent. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, you know, finding a CRM that works for you. I think we should expand this conversation outside of email into
editing
workflow.
For sure.
Thoughts.
For
sure. Tell me your thoughts. Tim is a photographer and a videographer. So the man has so much freaking editing. It makes me die inside.
Not anymore.
Not anymore?
Not anymore, baby.
Not anymore.
We are fully, I don't want to say fully. I never want to say fully. There's always a touch point. There's always a part of me into the visuals that I deliver for my couples. But I would say 90% of the editing I do is all outsourced to Imagine. They do culling now, which is great. I've not tried it yet, but apparently it's fantastic.
And so for people that are unfamiliar,
yes,
if they're
yes.
hearing this for the first time, Imagine right. is spelled I-M-A-G-E-N. If you're looking them up, you should be looking them up immediately unless you're driving a car. Immediately you're looking
Pull
them
over.
Up right now. Pull yeah. over. You know what? We'll sneak a little link in.
Why
we'll
not?
Sneak a little link in.
It's all down below.
To Imagine. So you use Imagine for everything, 90%.
Yeah, I won't get into the details of why it's amazing because you'll discover that for yourself. But it's amazing and it's helped me completely.
I think you should get into
turn
the
around.
Details.
All right, we'll get into the details.
Get into the details.
You can upload all your photos up to about 5,000 photos, I believe, mm-hmm. to this service that analyzes the images you take in certain lighting situations and your editing style, and then it learns. Basically how you would edit these photos.
And it's more than a preset.
It's way more than a preset. Yeah.
Super important for us to say that this is not a preset that you're slapping on your images
no.
in Lightroom and then just exporting, like absolutely not. It goes through all of the basic
mm-hmm.
Edits. So we're talking exposure, highlights, shadows,
Thank
whites,
Curves.
Blacks, and white balance
yeah.
and tones. So those are things that, hopefully your preset is not touching if you have created your own custom preset. And it touches every single one based on how you've edited.
Images
so
in
there's
the past.
Two different options.
Yes.
You can submit 5,000 images. So you can submit them one or multiple Lightroom catalogs of your previous editing. If you're like, yeah, I've got my editing dialed. Do not mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
Then great. Send them 5,000 images. If you are... looking for some input, you need some help maybe with your editing, or you feel like your editing previously wasn't very consistent, which truthfully that's where I was. Mm. I felt like my editing was not consistent across the style.
Same.
So from weddings to portraits to whatever, I didn't feel like I had a consistent, I didn't move the sliders in the same way for every single shoot.
Yeah.
So I didn't know where to start, and I really wanted to get started with Imagine last year. So I actually just picked one of their creator profiles. So their creator profiles are like incredible photographers from around the world who have submitted their own images. They've submitted their, you know, 5,000 photos to create their own profile, and you can just use theirs and then add your preset on top of it. So
Which
mine
is what
still
we've been
looks
doing. Yeah.
like identical to the work I had before, but it's way more consistent, way, way, way more consistent than what I was doing before, because humans are humans. And, you know, we're editing at all different times of day
mm-hmm.
in different lighting circumstances.
In between emailing.
Maybe I'm editing at the studio.
Sure.
Maybe I'm editing at home. If I'm editing at night, which like in Canada in the winter, it's night for half the day.
Yeah.
So chances are probably pretty good. You're editing with like a weird light bulb beside you. So there's so much to it. And one of the reasons why I feel confident talking about like letting a robot edit for me, even though I know my clients hear me saying that. And I think a lot of photographers worry, like, are you going to, so you're saying we've paid you all this money and then you just upload this and you just walk away. First of all, yes, I am going to do that. It's part of efficiency in business, and every single business finds efficiencies
yes.
and finds ways to offer you the same or better service with less effort. That's
yeah.
literally how businesses are run. And if you're a creative and you feel like that's weird, well, that's part of running a business as a creative, I think personally. That part of the reason why I don't feel bad about my clients hearing this is because my work has never been better.
Yeah.
My work is so polished.
What do they care about?
So consistent. They want their images to look great. They want them back fast.
That's what that does.
I can do both these things now.
This is what Imagine does. So
instantly.
So look into them.
You want it right now?
Again, not a sponsor yet, but look into them. They're a fantastic service. There's other ones out there like them, but I think for my money and for my experience, Imagine is the best.
Yeah, phenomenal. We also do use, both of us use Aftershoot for culling.
Yep.
And it's funny, when you start getting into, if you haven't looked at AI yet, you're going to realize that these companies have all sort of started to do what each other does or try to do what each other are doing. Look into them all yourselves. I'm sure they're all doing a really great job.
Sure. Yeah.
Aftershoot started with culling, is now getting into editing. Imagine started with editing, is now getting into culling. There are other companies that do these things. These are just ones that we use personally.
Yeah.
Look at automating your workflow. And that, you know, we said start automating your emails, start automating that initial sort of phase of things.
Yeah.
Then start looking at automating the back end of it.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, Aftershoot, how Aftershoot works. So for culling, it looks at all of your images. So say you shot 800 photos in a session.
Sure.
It removes blinks. So removes closed eyes. And it actually has been tweaked well enough to determine what is an intentional closed eye, which is amazing for boudoir photographers,
first
engagement
kiss.
Session, yeah. right? Like people that are, you know, we're shooting things that I'm hoping their eyes are closed in this moment. It would be weird if they're like, first kiss,
which
eyes
is
open.
Fantastic for family formals. I used to spend probably majority of my time on family
scrolling
formals.
Scrolling through 40 people.
You have a line of 10 people and one all looking at the camera. They're going to blink at different times. I say even when I'm taking photos, I'm taking a lot because people blink.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. And because of that, I have to sift through, I did in the past, 30 images to find one where everyone's eyes are open. Or if they're not, I have to go through and replace someone's eyeballs from a previous still of the same set of images. So imagine... Sorry, Aftershoot right now, and Imagine we'll get there, is incredible at detecting all the eyes open. That's the image you want. Done. Move on. So that has saved me hours, countless hours.
It's
that
incredible.
Alone is worth it.
Like truly, just for the eyes closed thing is amazing. Then what it does, and it also takes into account your own parameters.
Yes.
So I like to cull out as much as humanly possible. I don't like to deliver too many images. I think it really...
only the best of the best.
Yeah, I think it lowers the quality of the really great ones
when
you're delivering like five images that look like each other. So it duplicates, it creates a duplicate group.
Yes.
So a duplicate group is like, you know, like you said, you got 10 family formals. It's going to remove the three where uncles are blinking. Well, then we've got all these. It knows. And it's almost always exactly right which one is the best one. Which one is the best one based off of, I don't know how they got this data. I'm not a dataologist. I don't get it. I don't get it. They analyzed hundreds of thousands, if not millions of images, I presume. And it learns from you. Like it learns from... It learns from your own feedback. So if you're consistently removing more, then it starts removing more. So it'll take your 800 down to maybe 150, depending on how many duplicates you shot of the same pose and setting and scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a way better starting point for you to then do a cull through that. Like, I'm not saying you should just then immediately send it from Aftershoot into Imagine.
No, don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Like, you still have to touch things.
Yes.
You know, we haven't completely automated ourselves out of this.
Yeah.
But you're going to then cull down from that, send it to Imagine. And then from Imagine, you're going to process it through whatever your own editing style or one of the creator profiles. Then you're going to pull it back into Lightroom and it does it all automatically. It's really, really simple. Like it's
really well
shockingly
connected.
Simple,
yeah.
Actually,
very
right?
Well,
like I feel like we've seen some janky things over the years.
Yes.
And I think that those janky things have really... I mean, I've never seen anything janky from Imagine. I started a little bit later as an adopter. It's always been like beyond seamless. You pull it into Lightroom and literally, I know Sam Hurd says this a lot, but the most frequent edit that I do is hitting the next button. That's the most frequent function that I then do in Lightroom is hitting next, next, next. So I'm eyes on it. It's what I think is so phenomenal is it allows you time to then go in and do more deep editing that I did not have time for. Yes. Oh my God, when we were talking a 3-to-1 editing ratio, you think I had time to remove flyaways in every photo and remove blemishes from every photo? No, I was doing it on obviously the best ones. Like, yeah. I think there's some responsibility there to like really polish an image. But if we're talking shooting, you know, thousands of images and delivering 1,000+ images in a wedding, I do not have time for that. But now,
no more stop signs.
There will be no stop. They'll never exist.
Traffic will never
cease. An exit sign.
Get out.
She gone. So I think it's a win-win the clients. For us, I think anytime you hear about a new automation, it's worth it to look into. You know, there's automations for social media. Like, we're big fans of Later, of scheduling your social media posts for the month on one day. What could be better, you know? Then you don't have these like 3-month gaps where you just didn't post a single thing because whoops, you know?
But Kate, I hope that answers some of your questions. CRMs, look into them because they're fantastically worth your time and effort. Regardless if they do one thing really well or five things really well, if you can save 1 hour a week, 2 hours a week, that adds up at the end of the year. Editing, outsource as much as you can. It doesn't diminish you as an artist, as a creative. It's automation. It's there to help you. It does the same thing you do, just faster and while you sleep. Is that it? That's the points? Those are 2 points.
Automate them all.
Automate everything as much as you can.
Find a balance, right? You find that balance and then you go full send on your
making your life easier and just creating more stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, good for you for even noticing it, right? Like, I think some people, it takes a really long time for them to notice that, wow, I'm investing in the wrong freaking places, right? So good for you for a few years in to being full-time, a couple years into being full-time, that you're noticing, like, this is not an efficient way to spend my time in my business.
Yeah.
That's the joy. I love that part of being a business owner is when you find a problem, you get to fix it. Instead of when you were an employee, you find a problem and maybe 6 months down the road, they'll bring it up at a meeting again. You know, like think of how long it would have taken if you had a 9-to-5 to be like, hey,
we should get a new CRM.
Our CRM kind of sucks or our workflow is really bad. And they'd be like, oh, we'll table it. We'll talk about it in September.
Or we've invested in this thing already, so we're going to ride it out.
It's just so nice. You can move quickly, try out some trials, you know, do like almost all of them have free trials. Imagine I'll post a link that you'll get, I think 1,000 free edits, which is sick. So let us know how that goes for you. We hope that this year you get to spend more time on the beach. That's the goal.
That's
right?
It.
Is that not the dream? I think as a wedding photographer, you make just a bunch of money. You have a nice time. You get to take some nice pictures and then you get to go to the beach. That's my dream.
Yeah.
Is that your dream?
I'm there.
I just want to go to the beach as much as possible while having a really fun time.
To the beach.
To the beach, baby.
Lindsay, great episode.
Cheers.
Again, photographers out there, call in with your voice notes, DM us, the Shoot Your Shot podcast on Instagram, and we'll answer your problems.
We will solve them all.